First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. You can go for all the latest stories and any other thing we've got going on. Make sure you go there for the most recent podcast of our show. For you guys who don't have iTunes, we are available on iTunes. You can also catch us at Stitcher Radio and a whole host of other places. So there's no way to miss the show if you want it. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, please join our email newsletter. We will send you a weekly or a monthly update of our stories that we're covering for that period. We don't believe in the daily spam, so we just refuse to do that. Your choice, weekly or monthly. And if you don't mind, join the RSS feed as well, and we'll get the radio shows directed to your inbox. While you're there, if you're so inclined, if you like the work we do, we appreciate it, but we do depend on you to keep everything alive, and your donations are what help us keep rolling. So we do have a donate button at both those locations, at LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. You can make a donation through PayPal, or even help fund us through the GoFundMe page as part of our fundraiser at this time. Additionally, for those of you who don't like doing that kind of stuff on the net, understood. You can also send a donation or even a letter, whatever you want to do. Our P.O. box is 58146, right here in Louisville, Kentucky, 268. But that being said, on with the show. I tell you, I really wasn't sure how I wanted to begin this show tonight, and I'll tell you why. It's been a crazy couple of days, as everybody knows, with their Vincent Ferguson and things like that. I was originally going to go ahead and start this show and talk to you guys about an issue here in Louisville with MSD. MSD is having some problems. It's a story that needs to be told, but quite frankly, you know, I want to focus on Ferguson. Screw the rest. Everybody's sick of talking about it. I get that, but there's a lot to be said that still is not being understood. For the last 48 hours, I, in Louisville, have been referred to as the face of the white devil and the biggest racist in Louisville, which, of course, anybody that knows me, on, you know, no matter what your color, black, white, green, yellow, or purple, just laughs when they hear that because I'm the least racist person you'll ever know. But it is interesting because it's just reflective of the divide. The people who have been referring to me that way are African-American. They are black people because I dare to disagree with their opinion that Officer Darren Wilson should be tried, convicted, and electrocuted. The grand jury got all of the available evidence in the shooting case of Michael Brown. The grand jury, made up of both African-American and white grand jurors, had all the available evidence, all the witness testimony, everything in the world. There's a 4,800-page report about the grand jury decision that the New York Times actually posted today. You know, all of that information was available to them that none of us have. No one on the street or in the public had availability of. And they made that decision. I trust in the system. In that particular case, if the grand jury made the decision that there was nothing to be found there, then guess what? There was nothing to be found there. But because I dare disagree with that, and I happen to be white, I'm the white devil and a big racist in Louisville. So be it. You know, the other part of that equation is, you know, one of the other things that is being touted is because I have referred to Barack Obama as a buffoon or an idiot, and that's just another clue that I'm a racist. Folks, I've got what was fascinating about these people, and the reason I bring it up, and I'll get to that point in just a second, but what's fascinating about these people that act like that, and notice I said these people, not those people. There's a big difference there. But what the fascinating thing is about the people that act like that is they are the closed-minded fools that are the problem. Now, I'll be a racist for calling those people fools, the people that talk like that. But believe it or not, it's not just the black people talking like that. It's white people as well. So it's not a matter of, once again, a color. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. You know, for the record, for you haters out there, I love you. I really do. I love it because there is so much. It just proves to me how far we still have to go. So I guess I'm going to get to talk more and more for a lot longer than I ever anticipated because the reality is I called George Bush a buffoon and an idiot. I've called Bill Clinton the same thing. I've called Mitch McConnell the same thing. Last I saw, all those were white folk in position of power that weren't doing their job any better than Barack Obama in some cases. So the fact that you have to be a racist just tells me exactly what the problem is, not only in Ferguson, but here in Louisville and other areas around the country. There is a small contingent of people in this country who have to have a face and somebody to blame for their lot in life. If they have a bad life, it has to be somebody else's fault. Clearly, it can't be their own. And I like it when these racists stand up like that. And those are the true racists. I like it when those racists stand up like that because they identify exactly what the problem is in America. What a large part of the problem is the lack of personal responsibility and doing something to make your life better. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of the beast. They continue to allow themselves to be used. The people in Ferguson allowed themselves to be used throughout this whole situation. And it's a disturbing trend. The other day I did an article, we posted it at edsprangson.com in the blog, and we were talking about these type of situations. We were talking about the riots and everything, and that story brought us back to right here in Louisville in 1968. We're not immune to riots. In 1968, we had riots in Louisville after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And it was a terrible thing to witness, I know, because I witnessed it. And we looked at total destruction and really animals out of control. These weren't human beings, rational thought individuals. These were people who decided in that instant to become animals. and destroy property and destroy their neighborhoods. For what? Because here in Louisville, we learned a valuable lesson. The Louisville riots in 1968 were in the West End. Once the Louisville riots in 1968 were over, the businesses didn't rebuild at downtown or the West End. The businesses left the West End. White people left the West End. You had massive white flight of business and people, and you left the West End to be a predominantly African-American community. That never recovered. There's no business in the West End today. The West End is the poorest, most economically challenged area of Louisville and has been for 50 years because of the mindless actions of animals. Now, I paused there for a second because I'm waiting for somebody. And we've got plenty of you guys in the listening queue. If you don't like what I'm saying, hit the number one. I'll bring you on air. Don't be scared to defend your position. I'm not. But the reality is, I don't care what your skin color is. When you act a fool like that at that time, you're acting in an animalistic nature. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. But in 1968, we saw this happen here in Louisville. In the 1970s in Louisville, we followed that up with the Ku Klux Klan coming into Louisville because of forced busing. And we saw Louisville become enraged and start hurting each other, destroying things again, and creating even more problems. And then we start paying attention around the history throughout the communities all across the U.S. Ferguson is just the latest example. What about the L.A. riots in 1992? One of the biggest examples in recent memory. But what do you see that is so common in all of these scenarios? What do you see that is so common in all of these scenarios? You don't see a bunch of white people tearing up businesses and breaking windows out. You see a bunch of black people doing it. The civil rights movement was back in the 60s. Years ago. And yet, here we are 50 years later acting like it's the same thing when everything in the world today is entirely different than it was 50 years ago. And I don't want to hear another black man sit there and scream and yell at me, "You don't know what you're talking about. You're a white racist. You've never had to live black." Pal, I got news for you. The skin color doesn't have to be black to understand oppression. My skin color doesn't have to be black to be one of the oppressed. You think as a white American that I've lived high on the hog and I've had every advantage given to me? I have suffered more in my lifetime on a personal level than most black people I know. And I'm a white guy. But has anyone ever stopped to think about why we continue to see these images of black people shown out of control in the middle of these riots? See, everybody is missing the obvious, and it's something I pointed out on a friend of mine's radio show this morning. I talked on for a couple of minutes. And the obvious is real clearly this. This was not a spontaneous riot in Ferguson, Missouri. It was a pre-planned, intentional, well-designed riot in Ferguson, Missouri. The media helped orchestrate this. The liberal establishment helped orchestrate this. People think I'm nuts when I talk like this, but let's be real here. Let's be totally real here. Here in Louisville, the one constant we've had since the 1968 Louisville riots is we've had 5 decades of Democrat leadership, and the West End still has never gotten one business or still even shown any minute evidence of coming back from the destruction that they caused. The same thing is going to happen to Ferguson. Cairo, Illinois, at one point was a thriving small community. They have less than 2,000 people or 3,000 people now there. Their community never came back from similar riots. Nobody's talking about in 108 days since Michael Brown was shot, there's been 244 murders in Chicago of black men. Nobody wants to talk about that. No, this has to be a racist white guy. And this is promulgated upon the African-American community intentionally. White people bust out windows, but we don't get on TV. You think white people don't get angry in small mobs? They don't get on TV. Of course we do. We're all human. But it's the intentional inflection of this racial divide that is being promulgated by the liberal racist agenda. And that's why Ferguson was set up the way it was, to be the next piece of the puzzle to continue to creating this racial divide. It's disgusting. They made the announcement hours in advance. The announcement was made that there was going to be an announcement at 9 o'clock to tell the whole world what the grand jury decided, and the whole world already knew what the grand jury decided. So they wanted to make sure there was plenty of time for all the agitators and all the people who were going to create all the ruckus to come together in Ferguson to make sure that they had enough people for the planned riot event that they helped set up and they pushed the agenda on for weeks leading up to it. The governor himself activated the National Guard last Friday. And yet on Monday, the National Guard was nowhere to be found. Where were they? Where were they at? They were supposed to be there to help keep the peace. The lieutenant governor in Missouri said the Obama administration ordered the National Guard to stay out, put pressure on the governor not to use them. Why? Because it wouldn't fit the TV, the reality TV projection that they wanted to put here. And the black community still doesn't understand that they're being used as pawns in this game. That's what's most disturbing about Ferguson. It's the fact that there are still so many small-minded people out there who assume and presume that the white man has to be the devil. Here in Louisville, that white man devil's name is Ed Springsteen. Ask any of the haters here. I've had to deal with it for 48 hours, and I really don't care. But there has to be a white devil, and there has to be somebody to blame. Forget blaming yourself. Can we not think of anything? Can we not use common sense? Let's look at Michael Brown. His mommy gets on TV and wants to tell us all these great things about Michael Brown and what a sweet person he was. She's on the TV this morning in one of the morning shows telling this he would never do anything like that. He was so much better than that. You know what? As a parent, I want to think that my kids are better than everything too, you know? But in reality, there's a hell of a lot of things I don't know about my kids when they're not around me. That is the truth. That's the way it is with any daggone parent and child relationship. You only know what they want you to know. That's just the way it is. But she wants to sit here and act like this innocent little baby of hers would never, ever have done anything like this. We've got video of him ripping off cigarillos from a store and then pushing the manager aside when he was confronted. He's walking down the middle of the street, which is why he was daggone brought to Officer Wilson's attention in the first place. Him and his buddy were told to move to the sidewalk and get out of the middle of the street so traffic could pass. He decided to smart off to the cop. Wilson stops. What does he do? He decides to slam Wilson's door shut as Wilson's trying to get out of it and then start hitting him through his window. Yeah, this big Mike would never do anything like that. Why did he need the cigarillos? Well, probably because he was caught with a bag of fucking weed in his pocket. You don't like the language, I'm sorry. He had a bag of weed in his pocket, and the amount of THC in his system was twice the allowable level that they have in Washington, which is, you know, obviously marijuana legal. So the guy was high as a kite, had a bag of weed, wanted some cigarillos for his blunt, just got through robbing a store, instead of getting on a sidewalk and playing it low key, decided to escalate the situation. And this is a white-on-black shooting because nobody values black life. He's reaching inside a cop's window to beat the hell out of him? Are you serious? And this is the best example that the black community can rally around and tell us about their plight. 244 black men have been killed in Chicago. Black-on-black violence. There's your tragedy. There's your tragedy. This morning I had to listen to a couple of fools. It's the only way that I can portray it. On a radio show, talk about, you know, there was no violence. Nobody was hurt and nobody was killed. An AutoZone burned up. That was no big deal. This is what this guy is being taught. This is what this guy is being told. He can go online and get on the internet and listen to a radio show, but he can't do research. Over 24 businesses were burned in Ferguson, Missouri. More than half of those were independent, privately minority-owned businesses from people in the neighborhood. People that had to wake up Tuesday morning with no way to provide for their families because their business was owned by them. They didn't work for a Walmart where they can get a check for not working, you know, because a store burned down through no fault of their own. Some companies would take care of their employees. Ford was one of them that would. Some big major retailer might do that. When you own the business and you're an independent business, you don't have that luxury. So now these people's homes are in jeopardy. Their children are in jeopardy of not being able to eat because some asswipe wanted to go out there and burn a business down to say, oh, this is white-on-black crime. And the guy who's talking about this morning had no clue. Said there was no violence because nobody was hurt. 20-year-old young man, black male, was found dead in his Pontiac late Monday night. Right near the apartment complex where Michael Brown was shot dead. This was a black 20-year-old male. So he wasn't even white. Can't scream racism, right? This kid worked at Walmart and was paying his way through college. Didn't have any drugs in his system, didn't have any problems there. 20 years old, paying his way through college, working a job at Walmart. And guess what? He's dead in his car, but nobody was hurt. There was no violence, right? But you know, that story isn't being told on mainstream news. That story is being hidden on mainstream news. Why? From all appearances, the guy was robbed sitting inside of his car. They broke the window. The guy was robbed or shot through the window, killed sitting inside his car. That neighborhood, sorry, predominantly black. So this is another victim of black-on-black violence from the surface. But we can't deal with that. That has nothing to do with the bigger picture of making sure we have a racial divide. That's what's disgusting about the way that these fools handled this in Ferguson. A bunch of lawless thugs who don't give a shit about anybody at all, including the stepfather of Michael Brown, who is on videotape screaming, "Burn this bitch down," after the verdict was read, or after the grand jury made their decision. I've got to tell you, folks, you should all find this very disturbing. And instead, what are we doing? We've got people around the community. We're going to rally around Ferguson. We're going to rally around Ferguson because that's a white cop killing a black guy, a black nice kid who'd never done anything wrong, just ask his mama. that's the best we can do here in Louisville. We're going to have a rally around Ferguson. According to reports, depending on who you listen to, one report says there was 300 people. I've seen one report that says there was 400 people. I also know of at least two people that were there personally. They called me and said if they had 150 people there, they would be surprised. And the majority of these so-called rally around Ferguson supporters here in Louisville were white. The ones who showed up were white to rally in support of the Brown family because the grand jury got the verdict wrong. See, the problems in Ferguson aren't to the black people. The problems in Ferguson are relative to the entire nation and our poor inner city neighborhoods. Black and white both suffer from that. But the media doesn't portray that. The media wants to portray these black mob-like mentality people and then want to project this image that these people are so oppressed by the white man and by the government that it has to be our fault. Call me a racist. I don't care. But none of that is true. The liberal agenda in America has failed. It has failed miserably. We have proven it in Louisville with our own West End. It was proven Monday in Ferguson. Too damn many good people are suffering from this racial divide. The KKK, Democrats. Inner city poverty, Democrats. You guys get angry at me for pointing out the obvious, but it doesn't make it any less true. Because the black community has turned their backs on their own people by continuing to elect failed leadership that continues lying to them to make their situation worse. It's not me, the white man, that's the problem. It's the people that are elected. Paul, you're on the air.
Ed, you have punched one of my buttons on this topic here. You made a statement a few moments ago about the black community believes that they're being oppressed by the white man. Okay. Now, Ed, like you and like most of your white listeners to this show, I am relatively certain that none of them have been oppressing any black people in any shape, form, or fashion. In fact, I would dare say that in the United States of America today, more than 98% of white Americans do not oppress anybody, except if they've got kids, they'll keep their kids in line. But other than that, I just don't see it. I don't see any types of oppression, not racial. Now, the oppression that I do see, and this has been a longstanding topic for you, me, and a lot of folks who listen to this show, is I see our government oppressing all peoples with a wide variety of tactics, primarily government regulations. And the poor people are staying poor primarily because of government rules and regulations. But the folks that are rioting, and I use that term kind of reservedly because I don't consider 300 or 400 people in the streets in Ferguson to be really a riot, plus the fact that it was a planned torching. But I just don't see oppression going on the basis of race. Ed, do you oppress on the basis of race?
No, and I'll be honest with you, man. I've spent the last couple of days, and I've had many of people. I work behind the scenes with a lot of people in the inner city and trying to make things better in the West End and things like that. And you know, most of us have talked rationally. We're all on the same page here. You don't see this oppression. What's sad to me, Paul, I'll be honest with you. What's sad to me is you're talking about probably less than 5% of the total population who would act this way or believe this way. But it's that 5%, and we're not seeing that this is a hidden agenda, and I don't think it's even hidden anymore. I mean, there was no riot in Ferguson. There was pre-planned anarchy. That's exactly what it was. When you want to look at riots, let's look at 1992 L.A. riots. There was nothing planned about that. That's a riot. That's an uprising. It's not a planned event. This whole thing was orchestrated and planned to present and fit the stereotypical image that America has continued to be fed about the mean, old, out-of-control black people. These guys that allow themselves to be used in this manner just set any kind of race relations back another 50 years. That's what happens here. And these fools are doing this for some sort of egotistical trip to be on TV, I guess. I don't know. You know, but
no,
you're
I
right.
Think,
I mean, you don't see that.
I think they're acting as an agent. Look, you always have to ask the question, who stands to benefit the most from any types of situations like this, okay? And you know, let's face it. Over the last 50 years, since 1964, which was the height of the civil rights movement, since 1964, I think it's safe to say that from a legal point of view, rights have, in fact, been strengthened for minorities. Opportunities have been expanded for minorities. It has never been a better time to be a minority in the United States of America, both legally and socially. And I think if you answer the question, who stands to benefit the most from all of this racial upheaval, you'll understand why it continues to happen. At the root of all this stuff is what? Money and power.
Oh, there's some doubt.
So the question, Ed, and I'd like to get your speculation on this. Question is, who or what entity stands to benefit the most from all of this racial division that is constantly being sown by the mainstream propaganda media? Who?
Oh, I don't think there's much doubt about who. For one thing, you're going to have the Democrat liberal agenda elected officials that are going to benefit from it. And you're going to have, you know, people like your Soros and your Cox and the media itself, the people who own the media. You know, it's fascinating to me, Paul, because we look at this and play, and you just brought up the economy and other things, and that's exactly right. Here in Louisville in 1968, after the Louisville riots, you had complete white flight of all business and people from the West End, and for 50 years, they have not done one thing to fix the West End. And here's the reality. In 1968, all right, it was assumed, rightfully or wrongfully, make your own opinion on that, but it was assumed that the black man really didn't know that much about business ownership. You know, for the most part, the black man who had businesses back then were a relatively new concept in America. They really were. Okay? So when you come to the grist and you had this white business, a white flight, completely leave the West End, and I want to focus on that example for a minute because that's what we're familiar with. You know, you left a group of people, a whole group of people, and said, okay, black America, this is your community. You're free to make it what you want. And there were no tools available for them to understand. But in 50 years, from the very first adult black man in 1968 who was left to fend for himself, all that has been done in the West End is to perpetuate the white man is our problem. It's a racist thing. Everybody's against us. Nowhere in 50 years has the black community in the West End learned or attempted to learn how to make their community thriving. The only people who thrive in that particular community are the false prophets we call preachers, like your Reverend Kevin Cosby's, the late Reverend Lewis Coleman, those guys who take all the money out of the community and put themselves at the top of the food chain and keep everybody else poor and for further back. The Democratic agenda for 5 decades. The black man threw all their eggs in one basket here in Louisville, and for 5 decades have continued to elect Democrat liberal politicians who come to the West End and promise we're going to give you infrastructure, we're going to build you this, have never delivered in 50 years on any promises to the West End, but to come around every 4 years with a little bit of cash to the bottom feeders and buy some votes to keep their power. Even the black leadership in the West End. Yeah, let's call them out. Attica Scott, she is nothing but a racist divider. She was able to help herself for a short amount of time by being this racist divider. And she's going to be flat on her ass because she lost her council race because of it. Thank God we're waking up to that.
Yes, she did.
But let's look at
that.
Sherry Bryan Hamilton, Mary Woolridge, you've had plenty of black people in elected positions who could do something for the community. who could make the West End move forward, who could take the agenda and put the pressure, and didn't do it. They sold out to the establishment to keep their own power, their own fame, and their own fortune. And meantime, the West End is still lagging behind. I want to point this out to you real quick, and then I want to hear some thoughts from you. But, you know, I was listening to this radio show today, and they were talking about this, you know, about not having in business, not having anything else. And it was amazing to me, you know, that the mindset was one of the people actually had the audacity to say, well, you know, nobody in America has ever apologized to us for slavery. And I say audacity because I get so sick and tired of thinking that I'm some kind of a slave master or being accused of being some kind of a slave master who has kept a black man down and owned a person of any particular color, religion, anything you want to put on there, that I actually am a man who has screwed their life up. Because I tell you, there's nobody alive today who knows a slave or knew a slave. Period. The end. That's it. Nobody today was ever involved in slavery. Nobody. The only slavery that anybody has been involved in today is a slavery of the mind. But that is what is foretold. That I somehow am supposed to have such a guilt about something that happened 200 years ago or 100 years before I was born, that I'm supposed to feel so guilty about that I'm supposed to apologize to a 20-year-old kid today who don't know his ass from a hole in the ground for something I didn't do. And that's the problem. Folks, I don't have white guilt. I am not going to have any white guilt. This white man didn't do one damn thing to a black brother, period. I'm not your fault. You're your fault. I want to get that clear. But it was shocking to me that we were listening to 20- and 30-year-old people this morning on this particular program make those statements, that there are still that kind of racial divide is still being perpetuated by the race baiters and race haters, like our own local Attica Scott, in my opinion. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, that's an excellent point, because I, like you, and like the vast majority of white Americans today, we're not interested in creating problems for anyone, black or white. We want to live our lives as well as we can within the means that we have earned. And the race hustle industry seems to want to keep the black community under their thumb. And the way they do that is that they always have them stoked up about some issue. There's a couple of folks here in town that have traditionally used street protests as a means to make the headlines. The now deceased Reverend Lewis Coleman was certainly one of the leaders. The currently alive Matty Jones is another one. Attica Scott is also from that particular mold. But my question is, with all of these street protests, how come the state of the black communities in Louisville, Kentucky, haven't advanced hardly at all? And the answer goes back to what you just said. It's the race hustlers want to keep race as a sensitive issue within the black community, because that's the way they control the black community. Look, I'm going to use an example that I think some of your listeners may find offensive, but I think it's a pretty good example because it made world news when it was used. And that is in pre-Nazi Germany, Hitler and his henchmen stoked racial tensions to the max by castigating Jews as being the evil force that is keeping ordinary, regular Germans lagging behind. They blamed it on the Jews. And that was a case not of a religious situation, but that was a case of race baiting. What happened when the Nazis came to power? Well, they systematically sought to destroy the entire Jewish race, all in the name of racial purity. Okay? So now we have another group using the same tactic. That is, the black race hustlers are sitting there keeping black folks all stirred up, hating the white guy for some perceived oppression, which doesn't exist. And as a result of that, we continue to have poor racial relations because certainly in the black community, they don't trust whitey. And there's a lot of white folks, because of that mistrust, aren't particularly trusting of certainly the race hustlers. I don't trust Al Sharpton. I don't trust Jesse Jackson. I don't trust Mandy Jones. I don't care what they say. They are seeking to keep black folks down on the plantation, which they say they're not, but their actions their actions contradict their words, Ed.
That's because every time they keep the black man down, they step up on the pedestal and they look like they've risen above the rest. It's all an ego trip. You look at Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and of course, we're both white and we're on this program, so we're naturally going to be accused of being a member of the Aryan Nation, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, but if you look at this in reality, has Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson ever accomplished anything meaningful, lasting, or right within the black community? Of course not. But they've made a hell of a lot of money keeping the black community stirred up. Let's look at Al Sharpton, for example. Al Sharpton right now has $4.5 million in back taxes that he refuses to pay. He has stiffed travel agency after travel agency on hotel bills, travel, and everything else. He refuses to pay because his name is Al Sharpton and he shouldn't have to. But let's look at the tax thing alone.
Whoa. You mean he's behaving like Michael Brown, who stole the cigarillos?
Yeah, because he's
entitled.
Is
that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, because he's entitled. But let's look at this. Let's assume for 1 second, and I'm going to be very generous here to Al Sharpton. Let's assume for 1 second that half of the $4.5 million that he owes in back taxes is due to penalties and interest, and let's just wipe it off the charts. Let's wipe the penalties and interest off the charts, and let's look at the true tax debt that Al Sharpton owes. Let's call it $2 million. Let's be real generous here. Do you know how much income you have to make to owe $2 million in back taxes?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's not
you
in my
figure.
Tax bracket.
Sure. You got to figure. You know, to have $2 million in back taxes owed to the federal government, and if you want to look at this as having a minuscule, just 10% tax burden, just 10% tax burden. That's a $20 million income that Al Sharpton has made, keeping the black community divided and keeping the black community in an uproar and keeping the black community doing nothing more than blaming somebody else for the problems. Why hasn't he been out there showing the black community? Why hasn't he been out there showing the black community how to get business resources? Why hasn't he been out there showing the black community how to become entrepreneurs? Because Al Sharpton doesn't have a clue. Al Sharpton's biggest claim to fame came during the Tawana Bradley case.
Tawana Brawley.
That's it. You tell the audience about that case. I'll let you fill them in on that.
Well, my recollection is that Sharpton brought Tawana Brawley into the national spotlight, claiming that she was abused. And it turns out that Ms. Brawley was, in fact, acting as Al Sharpton's stooge for the purpose of advancing his agenda. So she was quickly and summarily discredited. And what happened to her? I don't know, but she has disappeared off the face of the national scene. So again, Sharpton is a user. He is a manipulator. He is a puppet master, and it all goes back to advancing his agenda and not helping the very people that he's out there proclaiming he wants to help.
Exactly. Tawana Brawley went out and falsely accused back in the mid-'80s, somewhere around 87, 88, somewhere in there. But she falsely accused 6 white guys of having raped her. Al Sharpton jumped in the middle of that, went out there and started screaming about the whites raping this poor little defenseless black girl and everything else. It ended up becoming a major national story. Al Sharpton intentionally created riots over these lies. And he knew they were lies. but it was a way to bring himself some national attention and put him on a national map. Turns out it was all a bunch of lies. Brawley, truthfully, had a habit. According to some of the grand jury evidence, I read on this earlier, but according to some of the grand jury evidence, you know, she had been in trouble with her mom. Her mom had actually beaten her. Her mom and her stepfather had punished her and beat her and everything else because she kept running away and sleeping with boys. So, you know, we look at all of this. This was all nothing more than a child, you know, trying to cover her ass. And Al Sharpton and the family took it to the next level.
Exactly.
They exploited it for their own benefit. And you're right. Brawley has disappeared from the map. But this is what people like Al Sharpton do. All right? And when I say people like Al Sharpton, you know, he's just one face. The Ku Klux Klan likes to do the other with the white face. So let's not get into this racial divide here. But this is nothing more than a race hustler and a race baiter who does nothing more than line his own pocket by keeping the communities in turmoil. This is why we have the problems we have today, because those people are still in existence. And until we start realizing this, we're going to continue to have problems. When we look at the media and the way that they have done Ferguson, a planned riot, the media helped put together, complicit in the scam, in my opinion, or the scheme, I guess, in this case, I should say. You've got a lieutenant governor of Missouri saying that President Barack Obama leaned on the governor of Missouri and told him to keep the National Guard out and just let it happen. So we've got a presidential administration that is potentially involved here. Paul, why is it so hard for people to see the truth? Do we rally around a guy who gets caught with a bag of weed in his pocket after he's killed, of course? But here's a guy who just ripped off a daggone convenience store to get some cigarillos so he could make some blunts with the bag of weed he had in his pocket. A cop tells him, hey, just get out of the middle of the street and go over on the sidewalk so cars can get through. And he says, fuck you, to the cop. The cop goes to get out of his car to ask him what his problem is. Then he attacks the cop, shoves a cop back in his car because he wasn't all the way out, slammed the door on him, and then starts punching the cop through his own damn window. All right. This is the sweetheart of a guy who's never done anything wrong, and we're supposed to rally against around this thug and scream white police brutality. Do we not have better racial, and I don't mean that to sound condescending, but when I talk about better, do we not have better racial examples to get involved in than to rally against something like this? When we look at the inner city being destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Again, it's all about selective reporting of stories. We've got tremendous number of good, positive black success stories that the mainstream propaganda media simply refuses to do a whole lot with. Some of the more prominent black success stories involve people like Condoleezza Rice, Michael Steele, Colin Powell. We have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We have plenty of good success stories that should, in fact, be inspirational for folks who wish to get ahead no matter what their race. These people found a way to do that. And, Ed, if the race hustlers were correct, which they aren't, none of them could have achieved the lofty status that they now enjoy. There is no way that black people could get ahead if the race hustlers are correct. So,
and let's look at reality. I want to point this out, too, because we're not talking about just modern times. I mean, let's go all the way back to Frederick Douglass, George Washington Carver. These are black
George
men.
George Washington Carver. Oh, my. Well, listen, George Washington Carver, I love what he did because I love peanut butter.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, he wasn't a peanut butter guy, but everybody thinks he was. But anyway, but no, let's look at this in reality, though. Frederick Douglass, he was around during slavery. Very successful, very, very, very successful, very intelligent black man. You know, the problem with success is some people are scared of success. So some people exploit others to have this feeling of success, and that's where Al Sharpton and them come in. But, you know, we can go through history example after example of example and list as many successful black guys as we know of successful white guys. You know, I mean, that's just the truth of it. This isn't a skin color that makes you successful. It's an attitude. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in I Have a Dream stated the obvious. You know, he said, judge by the character of the man, not the color of his skin. And yet, here we are. Everybody wants to scream Martin Luther King Jr., even the black community. I heard people on the radio this morning, black men screaming Martin Luther King Jr. and trying to act like they was big fans of MLK. Yet they're the first ones who called me the white devil and a racist because of the color of my skin. So, you know, how much do you believe in the MLK, you know, agenda? How much do you believe in MLK, what he was trying to accomplish? There's a lot of false prophets and hypocrites within the community on that as well. But you're right. You think about all these people, Paul. You know, Dr. Ben Carson, he's going to run for president.
Dr. Carson is inspirational. Yeah.
Oh, very inspirational. Here we have a true black man running for president. And I say true because I'm getting sick and tired. One of the other things I get sick and tired of is I'm a white devil racist if I call Barack Obama a buffoon because he's a black president. He's not a black president. He's half black, he's half white. Sorry, folks, that's a reality. I've called George Bush a buffoon. Who cares, right? That's white on white. That don't matter. You know, but you know, this is the thing. We've got all of these success stories of people in our lifetimes, both black and white, who are able to get ahead. And we can't be happy and rejoice in that and learn the lessons that they had to teach us so that we can find a way to get ahead and educate us. No, we have to continue sitting here listening to the likes of Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, you know, and sitting here screaming and hollering, the white man is your problem, because we all need a devil, don't we?
Locally, Ed, there's a couple of names I want to throw out because they've been tremendous success stories locally. Charlie Johnson, who opened up a transportation company that just absolutely blossomed into a very large business. Junior Bridgman, former U of L basketball star.
Talking about giving back to the community, yeah.
Well, I thought didn't he buy into the McDonald's franchising and now he's Wendy's. Okay, now he owns multiple locations. You know, if the race hustlers were right, then there would be no way on God's green earth that Junior Bridgman could be successful. Daryl Griffith. There are a lot of people don't know this yet, but I've had the privilege of actually seeing one of Daryl Griffith's monster-sized contributions to the primarily black community from traveling Interstate 264 daily. And that is, he was responsible and is responsible for a brand new gymnasium that bears his name on a school called the West End School, which is primarily for West End black students. And this school has a very high standards. These kids are doing well in this school.
And this was a multi-million dollar contract. This was a multi-million dollar construction, too. I mean, this wasn't throwing $5,000 and just get your name on something. Multi-million dollars. So there's another successful example. Go ahead.
So we have a number of good success stories that can be highly inspirational, but yet not only does the national propaganda media ignore those kinds of stories, but so do the local yokels, You don't see the Courier Journal writing stories that show just how inspirational successful black people are. No, they don't do that. They just don't do that. They say, okay, Daryl Griffith's kicking in a whole bunch of money to build this gymnasium. That's it. Just the facts, ma'am, you know?
Big time.
You don't see them
Big
in
time.
The Sunday newspaper in the feature section. You don't see those from the local Curious Journal. You don't, because the Curious Journal wants to keep the racial division alive. They want to stoke the flames of the racial divide. Because
it's the entire liberal media, the entire liberal media agenda, and that is really the issue. And that's what I you know, we agree on this. And believe it or not, most of the black community agrees as well. The problem is the lawless thugs that are in the black community. We have in the white community too, but let's face it, you know, the black community are the ones who get to be chastised with that, because they're the ones that the liberal media loves to throw up as a scapegoat. But, you know, I mean, let's look at this realistically. If you're a good, honest citizen who wants to help in your community, primarily in the black community, you know, you have this, you know, to snitch is to stitch. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get killed if you talk or if you tell any police about anything. Take pictures. Report a crime. You can't do that because the fear is so great from the lawless thugs in these communities. So those kind of stories don't get out there because, quite frankly, it doesn't sell. We have to sell this oppression. We have to sell the white devil, the Ed Springsteen, the white devil. We have to sell all of this crap. The liberal media has to do that in order to advance their agenda. And the street preachers, your Kevin Cosby's and those other guys, your Coleman's, your Matty Jones, all the other people you've mentioned, they have to do it too for their own agenda so they can excel. And it's what I call bottom feeders. They feed off of exploiting others. And that's the tragedy of the whole situation. So when you want to make your community better, you can do little things. You have people like Daryl Griffith and Junior Bridgman, who I have the utmost respect for both of those gentlemen. They have done one hell of a job trying to enhance their community. How many jobs do you think Junior Bridgman has created?
Hundreds. Oh, my. Yeah, probably,
you know,
in hundreds.
Same thing. Same thing with Daryl Griffith. You know, these are jobs in the community. Bridgman, a lot of his restaurants are owned in the same community, in the West End community. Guess who's working those restaurants? West End people, primarily African-American people. Be proud. But you can't have that. You can't be proud of that because you're too scared you're going to offend somebody who's too damn lazy and take responsibility for their own life. And that's the tragedy of the situation. We have taken the American people, the mindset of the black people, they have enslaved themselves. The people, the small-minded people who still continue to believe this way and continue to attack others this way, are their own problem. But unfortunately, that minority percentage, the small percentage that is out there doing this, are getting the majority of the attention so that we can keep this divide alive. And that's really, really sad. Paul, I'm running out of time. I'll give you an opportunity for a couple final thoughts, sir.
Well, Ed, I like you, being a lifelong Louisville resident. I've been through a lot of all of this stuff that's happened here in Louisville. I too am weary of the political establishment, which in this case, you have to call it like it is. Louisville's been controlled by the Democrat political establishment for virtually my entire 60-plus years, okay? And when it comes to race relations, there has been very little progress made. And since the 1968 riots that you alluded to some 46 years ago, there's parts of Western Louisville that have made hardly any progress. In fact, the epicenter of those riots to this day, if you travel down Greenwood Avenue where the riots destroyed lots of private businesses, you will see that very few businesses are established there. It scars a community for a lifetime. And you have to lay all of that blame at the feet of the political leaders who simply lack the political will to solve the underlying issues and, in fact, are quite content to exacerbate the racial divide.
Hey, thank you for the comments, Paul. Thanks so much for calling in. I tell you, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, folks, we have to come to the realization of something here, and it's a real clear realization. No one is born a racist. No one. None of us are born as racist. Racism is a taught behavior. So really, at the end of the day, when you look at the last 50 years, when you look at the last five decades, whether here in Louisville or in Ferguson, Missouri, or anywhere else around this nation, when you see these animalistic acts of violence that are pre-planned and staged to promote an agenda, we have to realize this is taught behavior. There's not one person that rioted in Ferguson that was born a racist. Not one. Nor is there one person that rioted in the Los Angeles riots. There wasn't one person that was at the KKK rallies and the craziness and the racism that went on in Louisville in the 70s. Nor was there one person in 1968 that was born a racist. There wasn't a racist born when our country was founded. It's a learned behavior. The civil rights movement was in 1964. Guess what? You won. When you take on a task, when you take on a mission, when you take on a goal and an aim and you win, you should rejoice and you should work. You should work your ass off to prove. To prove that it was a worthy fight, that it was a worthy cause. You don't sit back for the next 50 years and try to use the same damn arguments that you were arguing in 1964. It's ridiculous. 50 years later, a couple of generations later, we are still teaching our kids racism. I'm not saying it's a black community thing. There's white people that do it too. Why is it that in either equation, white or black, that we would want to teach our children this behavior so that they can make their lives just as worthless as yours? It defies logic. As a parent, I raised my kids to be true to themselves and to do the best they could to make their lives better. They will succeed or fail. I'm not in control of that. But I was in control of what they were taught. I didn't teach them racism. I didn't teach them hatred. I taught them that opportunity was theirs for the taking. It's up to them to reach for the brass ring. I taught them that we all live in this world together, that we don't always have to agree, but we have to be respectful of one another. I taught them morals, values, integrity, and ethics. What they do with them is their business. But I didn't teach them racism. I didn't teach them to judge someone on the color of their skin. I taught them to judge someone on the content of their character. And today, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I salute you for trying to get that message across. But I'm also ashamed of a hell of a lot of people in America, both black and white, who still have not got that one basic lesson. And I'm sick and tired of continuing to see the audacity of the fools in Ferguson and any other community that acts like that right here at home as well. And you know what? I don't think I'm alone. In Louisville, Jefferson County, in this merged government we have about 1 million people. And this support rally, because of the tragedy in Ferguson, 200 to 400 showed up. So maybe that's a good sign. Maybe that's a good sign that maybe at least here in Louisville, we're sick of listening to all this garbage and bullshit too. Maybe now we can finally see that it's time to put the past behind us and it's time to work towards a better future. And a way to work towards a better future, as Albert Einstein once said, if you repeat the same behavior and expect different results, that is the definition of insanity. For 50 years, in this community, we've repeated the same behavior. Do we continue to be insane? Think about it. That's it for tonight, folks. I'm out of here for the week. There will be no live show tomorrow night. Yes, this year I'm going to take a day off on a holiday, Thanksgiving, and Christmas if it falls on during the week. I haven't checked yet. But this year I'm going to spend some time with my family. Why? Because family is important. And not to say that you aren't, but sometimes we gotta take a break and recharge. So tomorrow night I'm going to spend time with my family and enjoy a meal and enjoy the company. And I urge all of you to do the same. Don't spend your Thanksgiving listening to political shows, even me. Have a great week. Ken Moman will be here on Sunday night at 7 o'clock with his version of Liberty Unbridled, as usual. And I will return on Monday night at 7 as well with the Ed Spreenstra Show. God bless you all. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you. Take care.